Can I ask a question? It might be on the wrong track, but are there two different sorts? There's kind of the mindfulness of the mind, when you're noticing what your mind states are, or what your mind is doing and thinking, and then noticing that and working with that. And then you're talking about contemplating as a subject on its own, impermanence or not self. And it just seems to me they're two different things, and therefore two different approaches. I just, are there? Because I feel like I can manage the mindfulness of mind bit and the workings out of that, but sitting with a contemplation I find quite, you know, just waft off, because it doesn't have the relevance to something I've noticed. Does that make sense?
Contemplation of mind states, jhitanupassana, like knowing the angry mind is angry, or the concentrated mind is concentrated, the scattered mind is scattered, and so on. It'd be interesting to hear what Lumbar Pasano has to say. The contemplation and wise reflection, contemplation, investigation is looking at, say, the angry feelings, or the agitated feelings, or the quiet feelings. Oh, this is really interesting. Earlier today I was really busy. Now the mind is calm. It's not wanting to be anywhere else. Look at that. Where does this come from? That exploring what is present. But it doesn't have to be like a fixed theme, like, oh, today I will contemplate birth and death, or today I will look at my...
I'm sorry for interrupting. Is what you're saying is work with the direct experience, and, yeah, not necessarily, because I do think about impermanence and can read about it, but it can only be, I'm putting two sides, but it can only work from the direct experience, or it has more impact.
Well, I'd say that, and kind of what Lumpu Cha is saying here, is that taking what's risen naturally and then applying that investigative attitude towards that. Where does this come from? I was very peaceful this morning, and then I had that one two-minute conversation with somebody over the sink, and I've been buzzing all afternoon. Look at that. Where does that come from? Why did that comment have such a strong impact? I'm unsettled. The mind is feeling agitated now. Where does that come from? They're not disconnected. Contemplation doesn't have to be just sort of a theoretical subject. It's usually most helpful when it's something that is very live in our world, or something that makes us excited or afraid or irritated or just wants to get away, you know, that can be picked up and explored. Would you have anything else to say on that?
Yes. I mean, there's several sort of angles or perspectives or things to pick up or tease out of that. There's a problem with the English language when you say contemplation, because if you say that in English, then you're already thinking. Because that's what's associated with, in the English language, with contemplation. I've got to think about something. Which in Buddhist practice, it doesn't preclude thought, but your best contemplation is quite thoughtless and much more. Like in the Pali, Yoni Sovanasikara is, I mean, sometimes translated as, you know, wise reflection, considered attention, and it's a way of attending and using attention so that one's paying attention to the process of things and paying attention to experience. And part of that might be just its content, and part of it might be the actual characteristics, which would then be impermanence, unsatisfactoriness, non-self. So they're not two separate things, but they're two different modes of attending. Sometimes these are hard to talk about because it's just a way of applying the mind.
I said it a few times, but one of the ways of understanding that process of wise reflection or investigation, or Dhamma Vijaya is another parallel term, investigation of reality, is you're applying the ability of the mind to recognize patterns, which is not necessarily a verbal conceptual thing at all. It can be in terms of a vision, a memory, a feeling, how things fit together. It doesn't have to be in the realm of conceptual ideas and thoughts, words at all, which is where we tend to get very lost. It's in the story making and conceptualization and get into a real tangle. So that using that capacity to recognize how things fit together, even when you use a term like causal relationships, you go, oh my goodness, cause and effect, that sounds technical. But how things work in nature, how things fit together, the processes of nature and the material elements, also the sense world, how it functions, how it fits together. So you're drawing upon that capacity to recognize and to get a feeling for how things relate to each other, and a feeling for the orderliness or the relatedness of things to each other. And part of that might be that things are in a state of disorder. You're like, whoa, this is a real mess. But that's part of that process. And like Lumpo was saying, it's not conceptual. And often our quote-unquote best contemplation is non-conceptual, non-verbal.